So we started this about a year and a half ago at a marketplace meeting in Charlotte, and we're grateful for your participation, and just remind you that we'll have conference calls a few times throughout the year, and then we'll also meet in person at Marketplace in January. So Congress and what's going on there. Over the summer, there was a House Transportation and Infrastructure Highways and Transit Subcommittee hearing that was specifically on school transportation. And I know that's a busy time of year, so I just kind of wanted to briefly mention it to you so you were aware. This is as Congress is beginning to look at the reauthorization of the FAST Act, and previous iterations of that were MAP 21 or T21. So it's the multi-year transportation reauthorization bill. And the hearing really focused on sort of where Congress should head on school transportation and what the federal role should be in looking forward and what they can do to make transportation safer. They focused on a variety of things, including seatbelts, and the central thing that they kept coming back to was that they and Congress lacked sufficient data to really understand accident trends and how best to move forward. So just food for thought there. And then after the hearing, NAPT, the National Association of People Transportation, released their statement. They did not testify at the hearing. And this is of interest too, because if you aren't aware, they have announced and initiated a campaign. They're calling it Zip Zero, Nada None, to eliminate all school transportation related fatalities by 2025. And they've asked other interested parties to join in with them. This campaign is focused on buses and getting the newest and most technologically advanced buses with seatbelts on the roads, drivers, and encouraging states and operators to conduct vigorous reviews of their processes and procedures to ensure that the drivers are the most well-trained possible. And certification, including encouraging all continued certification and possible certification of school transportation employees, so they're the most skilled out on the road. And they've encouraged Congress to consider providing federal financial incentives to states and local systems for obtaining the newer fleets and for hiring and retaining drivers, those types of things. So really just wanted you to know that that's out there. That's a departure for NAPT or a shift. They've in years past been a little bit more focused on asking NHTSA to provide the data on seatbelts. So they've kind of gone in a different direction. Any questions before we move on to the agencies? Okay. Moving on, FMCSA, just a reminder, and you probably have seen this in the news, that the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse is now open. This is just a reminder, you cannot hire drivers after January 6th of 2020 unless both you and your drivers are registered. And this would include, this would be available to drivers who hold a CDL or a learner's permit, employers of a CDL driver, third-party administrators, medical review officers, and substance abuse professionals. And it will allow FMCSA, employers, state driver's license agencies, and law enforcement officials to identify CDL drivers who have violated federal drug and alcohol testing program requirements. So you're going to have to get involved and have to get on it. You might as well go ahead and beat the rush and get yourself registered on there as soon as possible. Environmental Protection Agency. Oh, I'm sorry, we've got these. Somehow that got skipped, Brad. The Environmental Protection Agency has the DERA school bus rebate program they've announced. They do this pretty much annually, or at least on a fairly regular basis. This offers program funding to replace or retrofit older school buses, and has so far provided funding for almost 2,000 vehicles over the years. The 2019 rebate program offers more than $10 million to public and private fleets, and it's done through a simple couple of page application that you as a contractor can submit directly to EPA. And this is all done by a lottery system. The only sort of thing that makes it a little bit more fair is that there will be one selection from each state, so it's not a complete straight lottery. But it's a lottery system, and applicants will be awarded between $15,000 and $20,000 per bus for scrappage and replacement. As I said, it's a simple application. You apply directly to EPA. You don't have to go through anybody else to do it. You know, like Clean Cities or any of those other things. That would be true for the bigger DERA application that tends to happen in like December to March timeframe. The application deadline for this school bus rebate program is October 30th at 4:00 Eastern, and everything is sent via email. And information is on the EPA website on that. Moving on to NHTSA, they've announced a advance notice of proposed rulemaking. So this is really just soliciting information from those who are affected by it, of a potential update to FMVSS 208, which would require a warning system to alert drivers of vehicles weighing less than 10,000 pounds that their rear passengers are not wearing seatbelts. And NHTSA has specifically asked in this advance notice of proposed rulemaking if this should apply to school buses. The devices would emit an audible and or a visual alarm when a passenger is not wearing a seatbelt. And currently the alert's only obviously required for the driver's seat. This is something that's out in the market. About 13% of model year 2019 vehicles sold in the U.S. had this type of warning system, so it's not something that would have to be developed, although it would have to be figured out more on the commercial market side. And as I said, NHTSA is specifically asking if school buses should be included in this requirement. HHS, Health and Human Services, as we've talked about over the time, they've been working on a hair testing proposal. This has come about over conversations of trying to find other ways of drug testing. This is something that the American Trucking Association and others in the trucking community have long advocated for. HHS has really struggled with this and to come up with an actual standard and figuring out ways to go about it. They recently submitted a report to Congress on this, and they are still delayed. They're struggling with a variety of issues, such as vigorous and extensive washing could increase risk of false positives in hair testing. Studies indicate hair color may have some effect. Hair treatments such as bleaching, straightening, relaxing, those types of things may affect the concentration of drugs in hair. And an inability to distinguish between human and synthetic hair, or an ability to determine if hair has been damaged, are all things they're still struggling with. So this is not imminent by any means, but it's still something that's getting kicked around. This was a requirement in MAP 21. So, you know, pressure still remains on HHS to move this ball forward. And NTSB, we wanted to raise your attention that they are having a distracted driving roundtable on October 29th at the University of Missouri. This is going to be webcast if that's of interest to you. So just go to their website and you can either go if you're in that area at that time, or you can watch it online. And they tend to store those as well, so you can watch it later. Department of Labor, they have updated their salary thresholds for overtime pay eligibility. Just so you know what's going on there, they've updated and revised regulations issued under the Fair Labor Standards Act, implementing the exemptions from minimum wage and overtime pay requirements for executive, administrative, professional, outside sales, and computer employees, also known as white-collar workers or management employees. And this final rule is effective as of January 1, 2020, raises the standard salary level from the current enforced level of $455 per week to $684 a week. And that's the equivalent of $35,568 annually. It raises the total compensation level for highly compensated employees
to $107,432 per year, and it allows employers to use non-discretionary bonuses and incentive payments, including commissions, that are paid at least annually to satisfy up to 10% of the standard salary level in recognition of evolving pay practices. So if this is something that would affect your business, you should check into this, talk to your accountant, and figure out what the ramifications of that are for your business. And as I said, that's effective January 1, 2020. Moving on to the state legislation. Electric buses, this is getting a lot of traction across the country, and I just wanted to mention two of them to you. Michigan, the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy has signed a funding agreement to award 7 school districts a total of $4.2 million to purchase 17 electric school buses. They're going to cover up to 70% of the cost for the buses as well as the charging power stations. And this is coming from the Volkswagen settlement, which is what some of the states have chosen to do. And in Virginia, Dominion Energy is proposing an electric school bus program. They're accepting bids from manufacturers and districts, and Dominion Energy aims to have 50 buses fully operational by the end of 2020. They have phase two, it would bring 1,000 buses by 2025. And the phase three goal would be to have 50% of all diesel buses replaced by 2025 and 100% by 2030. So just mindful that those are out there and moving along in the state. And the late start bill in California, this was a bill that's moved through the legislature and is awaiting the governor's action. He has until October 13th to sign it. If in fact he does sign it, the bill would require middle and high schools, including charter schools, to start no earlier than 8:30 a.m. So it would obviously have a significant effect on transportation and how all of that functions within the state. And before we move on, any questions? Okay. Bellwether has recently released 3 studies that we wanted to just bring to your attention. The first, From Yellow to Green, Reducing School Transportation's Impact on the Environment. This examines case studies of electric school bus pilot programs, the pros and cons of impact reduction strategies, funding streams, all of those types of things. It includes some recommendations, which are state school districts and other agencies, such as utilities or departments of public works, should develop a shared vision for making their school transportations more environmentally friendly. Districts need to understand how their students get to school, critical part of the equation. States can also provide additional funding to incentivize the adoption of environmental impact reduction strategies. And even with a vision, additional funding and good data, districts and communities may need additional support. No surprise there either, but good backup if that's something that's happening in your community. The second study is School Crossing, Student Transportation Safety on the Bus and Beyond. This report aims to help state and local leaders, advocates, and other stakeholders better understand how they can lead comprehensive change to improve the safety of all modes of student transportation in their communities. The recommendations in this report include things like students travel to and from school is relatively safe, but even one injury is too many. And a variety of options recommended that communities and families should consider are things like student bus safety awareness, walking, biking safety campaigns, carpools and walking school buses, other things like stop arm violation enforcement, infrastructure improvements, potential transit partnerships, transit safety data collection, and then with governments supporting and enforcing safe driving near schools, calming streets, long-term school infrastructure improvements, and seatbelts. Also, good backup if that's something your community is focusing on. And the third report they've recently released related to school transportation is Intersection Ahead, School Transportation, School Integration, and School Choice. This focuses on a history of school transportation's role in integration and choice, and analyzes the importance to integration and choice. And its recommendations include things like school transportation services are critical to multiple models that seek to provide school choice. By improving efficiency, these types of models can better support the complex way schools enroll students. And as a first step, sharing insights and information can prevent decisions about school transportation being made in isolation. And these are great resources if this is something facing your community or if your community is, you know, kind of turns to these issues down the road. Moving on, marijuana and CBD. This is something we've talked about quite a bit as well. I know it's something that you all struggle with. The Arthritis Foundation recently released a guidance for adults with arthritis, and this is one of the first things to come forward on this issue. And really just kind of wanted to bring it to your attention that something is out there. And the Arthritis Foundation did really urge Congress in their guidelines to expedite their study and regulation of these products. Once this was announced, I know Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell did the same thing on the Senate floor. So there is some small pressure starting to be applied to FDA. The guidelines don't specifically call out if you're in a safety sensitive position or anything like that, but they do say that this should be done in, if you're going to take these products or use these products, they should be done in consultation with your doctor and your medical personnel. And then hopefully that would be the catch on the safety sensitive position. Just sort of letting you know that that's out there. Any questions? Any other issues or discussion of any other topics? Brad, it seems like we have a quiet bunch today. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Rana. And thank you, everyone, again, for joining us for today's School Bus Council update. If you do have any questions about the council or anything we discussed today, feel free to reach out to me at btucker@buses.org or 202-218-7206. You can also reach Rana at rweber@colonialstrategies.com. And all our contact information, along with events and other news, is located at our website, buses.com/SBC. So if there's nothing else, everyone have a great day, and thank you again for joining us.